Well, hello, fellow vaulters of silliness. Today brings us a mix of Norm Nathan shows from early 1994, maybe March, and then we jump to June-ish of 94. And because we get to hear three calls from Ruth Clunnett, also known as Dave Maynard's Ruth, this episode shall be simply titled Ruth Radio. A nice show open kicks everything off. Oh, let me add that the tape edits were provided by the person whom recorded it. Carol Mateever of Wicker Sportswear in Wolfsboro, New Hampshire, is the guest. The company makes high-tech thermal underwear out of recycled plastic bottles. The only problem is, they make that annoying crinkle sound when you sit down. Okay. Next guest, Carl Teeterman of Selectra Electric Cars in Wilmington. All I'll say is we've come a long way, but wait for that last comment from him and we can all have a good laugh together. We are treated to many callers throughout this episode. The aforementioned Ruth, a mystery caller. We hear from Judy, the one and only Generosa, a caller from New Jersey. Ruth is back. Linda Chase is on the line. An unknown caller. A very brief call from Sue. We hear from Arlene. And the third time's a charm with Ruth. And then we hear from our good friend Raj at MIT. Now mixed in here is a different show with the host named John. Unsure if it's from WBZ. Well, he's talking with Sharon, who is doing a reenactment play in Lowell about a woman traveling down from Quebec on a seed boat. No, I'm not kidding. Now, before we begin here, some additional highlights. Norm wraps a magazine submission from a lady named Marion Gibbons of Geneva, New York. I join Norm for a bit. We hear traffic guy Ken Newman's engagement story. The breakdown lane of life with Bob? The George G. Hamilton School Orchestra in Everett, Mass., where Norm shredded his bow playing the violin. And Norm makes an announcement. The jam-packed episode 189, Ruth Radio, fiddles its way to your ears. Now.
Just makes me glow each weekend night. He's beyond compare and so debonair. On BZ 103. Oh, please don't turn that dial. He makes me smile. Norm Nathan Show. Norm Nathan Show.
This is the Norm Nathan Show. I'm just so excited. Do you realize the last time we said goodbye was like 1 o'clock last Monday morning, Sunday night, Monday morning? Do you realize how life has been a desert for me since then? Do you realize the wanting, the craving for you that has been building day after day after day till we could get together? I can't stand it. I'm just so pleased. Well, I'm telling you, life is empty without my being here in the Teen Canteen. There's nothing. There's nothing out there. It's all the diaspora.
Woo!
Or as David Letterman would say, that's the way he laughs. And since he's a lot older than I am, I want to be like him. And speaking of that, we're going to be talking with a woman who works, well, that alone is enough to excite me at this stage of my life. But beyond that, she works for a company that makes underwear. There's another word that sends me off into gales of excitement. But out of plastic soda bottles, anyway, I guess that's part of it. Anyway, we'll be talking with her in a minute, but let me pull myself together first. And according to Tony Nesbitt, who made the notes on all of this, it makes for nice soft undies. And Carol's on the line with us right this very moment, unless she got totally discouraged by the opening of this program and decided to hang up on us. How you doing, Carol?
I'm doing fine tonight. How are you?
Okay, I hope you're in a silly mood, because I don't know whether you know the slogan of this. Tony is supposed to send a documented certificate to everyone who appears on this program announcing the fact that the whole point of this program is to be sure to leave this life a little sillier than you found it.
Well, that's great.
Yeah, so you have to raise your right hand and take that oath. Otherwise, we just can't talk anymore. Anyway, tell me about this stuff. You're up in Wilkesboro, New Hampshire, which is really pretty country up there.
That's right. It's beautiful.
I don't know. Has your company, Wicker Sportswear, has been making this? Well, tell me about the underwear. How is it made? And have you been making it very long?
No, actually, it's a new product. What we make is high-tech thermal underwear, and this is just part of our product line. So what we do is we buy fiber from Wellman Industries, which is a leading plastic recycler. What he does is he takes the actual bottles, the 7-Up or Coke plastic bottles, melts them into fiber, and then he sells the fiber to people such as Wicker Sportswear, which we spin it into yarn and make it into garments. So we actually make thermal underwear out of the recycled bottles.
And is this common? Are there other things that are made with the recycled bottles and stuff?
Well, now they have, Wickers is the only company that makes the underwear out of the recycled bottles, but now they have several different items, like Patagonia makes a shirt out of the recycled bottles. And they had an exhibit at FIT in New York City, and they had different things made out of the recycled bottles, and they showed the raw product, which looks almost like pellets, little plastic pellets, and then they weave them into the recycled. And actually, the first shirt that we had was bright green, like a 7-Up bottle. That's the product that we started with.
Okay, but you can make them any colors now, you mean?
Yeah, well, now we make them in off-white and navy blue.
Okay, and by looking at this underwear, I feel like we're talking much too personal since we've just met.
Well, we're only talking Long John, so we're not getting too personal.
I suppose so. We're not talking lingerie or anything.
No.
But can you tell by looking at these Long Johns that how they were made, or do they look like just any thermal underwear?
No, you couldn't pick them out from our regular product, and they serve the same purpose. Our game is high-tech thermal underwear, and it's really a performance product, so people from L.L. Bean buy it, and EMS, and that's some of our customers. And when they wear this product, the moisture wicks from the body versus the name Wickers, and it keeps them very comfortable underneath. And this product, it performs in the same way, so you actually couldn't pick it out. The only thing you could pick out was the tag that said it was 100% recycled.
Okay, so you were kind enough to remove the tag before you went out in the public with your thermal underwear. Nobody could tell the difference. But it's kind of interesting, because we're all so much interested in recycling and all. For example, I know we have a recycling operation in our town. I think most towns do now.
Right.
Where at one time you couldn't give newspapers away. You almost had to pay people to cart it away. Now it's become a premium kind of item where people are paying money to take your paper.
That's
and to
right.
sell it, and towns can make money on that. And now you're talking about plastic bottles, because those have been recycled for a while now. And this stuff is going to be valuable like old newsprint and stuff, you know.
And that was previewed in the November catalog. So we're still waiting for the numbers to come in, but they look really good.
Oh, because that's one of the big companies, isn't it?
That's right.
I'm guessing, because I seem to be on the mailing list for every company in the entire world, and Land's End seems to be one of them.
They're a large company. We also do work for REI, which is out on the West Coast, and they're bigger than Land's End.
Do you think you could make other things out of these plastic bottles that are maybe a little more glamorous than, I'm certainly not talking down thermal underwear, because
no.
I think that's really swell with us macho guys who like to go out in freezing weather, you know. But could you make more delicate stuff and still use the same material?
Oh,
and what
sure
kind
you
of a
could.
Future would this have, do you think?
It has an extensive future. I'm sure people will develop it probably into handbags and totes and sweaters or whatever. You know, once you get the fiber soft enough to make a cloth out of it, it's really an extensive use. You can use it for almost anything. In the Navy for Land's End. That's actually what's in their catalog.
Okay. You're delightful. It's fun to talk to you, Carol Mativier.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll never forget that name. Every time I put on my... come closer. I don't want everybody to hear this because this is kind of special. Every time I put my underwear on, I'll think of you, Carol.
Well, thank you.
Don't tell your daughter, and I won't tell my daughters either.
Okay.
And I appreciate you coming on with me. Best of luck. I'm delighted to hear this because I've been a recycling fan for a very long time, and that's really the only way to go, and I'm delighted that a big company is doing this kind of thing. And
okay.
You're nice to talk with us, buddy.
Thank you very much for having me on.
Take care.
Okay, you
bye,
too.
Bye. Carl Tiedemann, pardon me?
Tiedemann, the H is silent.
Oh, the H is silent. Well, you just drop that out of there and let's just lessen the pollution in the air with too many letters.
Sure.
Okay, Carl Tiedemann, who was with Selectria, a company which is up in Wilmington, which makes electric cars. And from what I gather, last time I heard about electric cars, you've come a long way.
One of its kind in the U.S., and the state of Massachusetts purchased 20 of our electric cars, which are conversions of Geo Metros. We've purchased the Geo Metros, pulled out the gasoline engines and all of the exhaust systems and so on, and replaced it with electric motors and battery packs. And right now, people, 20 commuters in the state, are leasing the cars from the state and using them to get back and forth from their homes to the train stations on a daily basis. The cars that they're driving right now are highway capable. They have a top speed of at least 70 miles an hour, and the cars are capable of going on average about 50 miles or 60 miles on a single charge, which is more than enough for them to get to the train station to plug in and charge up during the day and so on.
Okay, these cars, somehow when you think of electric cars, you always think of these little tiny things and all. And these are not. These are regular size cars, are they not? And would anybody be able to tell if they were driving alongside you that it was an electric car, aside from the fact that I guess it would be a whole lot quieter?
Basically, the only clues that an outsider would have is that there's no tailpipe, and you might hear a slight whirring noise coming from the car, but you're right, it is practically silent and operating.
Mileage, I was just looking at some statistics that you passed along. For example, a pickup truck can go up to 70 miles top speed, which is faster than you're allowed to drive anywhere in New England anyway.
That's right.
And go for a 50-mile range.
Yep.
And all of that, and with a... There are different kinds of batteries, I guess. Is that right? So depending on the distance would depend on the kind of battery that you have?
That's right. With the Geo Metro conversion that we offer now, with the standard lead-acid batteries, the vehicle travels, as you indicated, about 50 or 60 miles on a charge. When we put in advanced batteries, such as nickel-cadmium or NiCad batteries, as they're known, the vehicle can get up to 100 miles or more on a single charge. And quite a few studies have been done exploring electric vehicles and what sort of hurdles, whether real or psychological, that'll have to be overcome before they're more widely accepted. And many have found that people generally have expressed a need for a vehicle that could do at least 100 miles on a charge. And so something like that is on the market now. Unfortunately, the vehicles are being made in such small numbers as to be relatively expensive, although not terribly so. The lead-acid car that we make sells for about $30,000, and it's a lot of money compared to any of the electric vehicles now offered for sale by the big three, which are generally priced at over $100,000. It comes out looking like a bargain. The point that our company is trying to make as a small electric vehicle company, and we have at this point roughly 50 employees, is that if we can do something like this on a small-scale, handmade basis, and to date we've delivered roughly over 100 vehicles, then in mass production we feel very comfortable to say that the price of these cars could be down in the range of a gasoline-powered vehicle, perhaps even lower than a typical gasoline-powered vehicle. And this is also what's being said by the head of quite a few European and Japanese automakers, including Honda and Isuzu and Suzuki, and in Europe, Volkswagen, Fiat, Renault, Peugeot, who have all said that they feel comfortable projecting that they can make electric vehicles for about the same price as gasoline-powered vehicles.
Really good coming in. I had a great day today. You know what I did today, too? See, I must tell this because I've gotten behind a long, long period of time in answering mail, namely because the typewriter that I use here at the BZ, it's David Brudner. It's a snut. It's not his typewriter, but it's sort of assigned to him. And since he broadcasts out of his home now, he doesn't come in. Therefore, when the typewriter breaks down, which it did, nobody has the clout he does to get the thing fixed. Are you following me so far on this?
Of course.
If I were calling myself with this story, I'd probably hang up on me, too. Anyway, so I bought a typewriter a few weeks ago, but you don't buy just plain typewriters anymore. You buy typewriters that say, if you want to release the margin, press code plus number 5. You know, it's got a million directions like that. And I only finally just figured out how to use the thing. So I began, and I felt so proud of myself, I began answering the mail today. So anybody's written to me, or anybody's got a prize or something coming along in a contest, I'm on my way. Just please hold on for another week and a half or so, and I'll take care of all of that.
Now,
stuff.
Didn't I offer my services?
Yes, you did, but I just kind of sit there at home, and I just feel so noble doing that.
I understand that. Now, a little while ago when you were getting upset there, you said you were going to read something about the 40s or something, and then you forgot all about it.
Oh, yeah, I didn't do that. This is,
see?
I don't know. This should be done in cadence, kind of like, you know, maybe like rap stuff, only the lines are about the 40s. And maybe even earlier than that. It says, it says those fantastic 40s, written by a woman named Marion Gibbons of Geneva, New York. And it's in a magazine that, the title pretty much explains it, Reminisce. I won't hold you on the line while I do this. Maybe I'll do this after we finish this swell conversation.
My entertainment report is, I feel very bad, like you. I forgot the name of the movie, but the very good reviews on the new Peter Falk movie.
Oh, that's where he plays an old man.
You know, he gets to be 107 years old in the movie. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. I didn't realize he was that old.
No, he starts off younger, but, I mean, you know, old but younger. And I haven't seen it, but I'm just getting all in. I saw him last night on David Letterman's show live. It's the first time he's ever been on. He really looks great, actually.
He's a fine actor. Yeah. It's kind of funny. He's got that guttural L.
Yeah, right.
You know, listen, I'm Columbo.
Yeah.
He talks like that. And so when he's playing another character, it still sounds exactly like him. Because, I mean, obviously, that's the way he talks.
Well, I'll tell you, it's the first time he's ever been on a talk show like that. And he looks great. I mean, for his age and all, he looks super. The older he gets, the better looking he gets. And anyway, he's... I don't know how old he is because, again, I'm getting the second hand in the movie, but I saw a review on it tonight also, and they said that he's really great and he might be nominated for Academy Award for next year.
Yeah, the name of the movie is Roommates.
Right.
Peter Falk and D.B. Sweeney. Does he play a young man, too, or just the old guy?
No, I think an older man, but then he gets to be 107, but I'm, you know, we'll have to see the movie and then we'll know. And then the other thing that I was going to tell you with my little entertainment thing is, you know how we like David Letterman because he's nuts. Tonight, he ran over to Radio City Music Hall and he danced with the Rockettes.
Oh, he very often has had the Rockettes on his show.
No, he has them in the studio.
in his studio, but this time he got up and he left. Of course, he had taped it, I'm sure. And he said, I've been here long enough. I'll see you later. Thank you for being here. And it was the opening of the show, and the next thing you see him, he's in the line with the Rockettes in Radio City Music Hall. They show the whole audience and everything. The audience was crazy. They were screaming like wild. He was dancing right there at Radio City. Isn't that cute?
That is very cute. You know what I'm looking at right now, too? Hold on a minute. I see a review by James Vernier in the Herald on roommates, and the headline is, "Don't pay a visit to roommates." He doesn't rate it high at all.
Really?
I'm just looking through the Globe, I'm sure, because they must have reviewed it.
Yeah.
Too.
And Joyce Kohewitt gave it a great review tonight.
Yeah. I don't see a review on the in the Globe. Maybe it was in another day.
I hear the papers. I love that.
Yeah, I love it. I know it drives you crazy when I do this.
Speaking of that, you know, you're talking about how terrible the ice is. I have to tell you, I haven't been out for about 3 days, and I finally went out yesterday and had to spend about an hour getting the ice off my car and all. But I have to tell you, that was the most beautiful sight I've ever seen.
It is beautiful. You know, it's hung on those trees.
Absolutely gorgeous.
All week long. I have these I have a long driveway and these overlying branches. They're weighted down by by the ice. And as I go through there, as I go banging through all of it, and I keep thinking, if I hit them, why doesn't the ice just fall off? It doesn't. It's like
it's so cold.
It's really tight on there.
But it was Soldiers Field Road. I drove over that way yesterday. It was just gorgeous. I mean,
it is pretty.
It looked like winter wonderland, isn't that?
Well, hold on a minute. Wait a minute. I think we got something here. It looked like
Winter Wonderland. Is that good?
Oh, that is excellent. That is a kind of a picture you can just, it just forms in your head.
Anyway,
the heck with this. I can't see this.
Two last things. Are we going with the Powerball? $100 million tomorrow night.
Oh, is that up to that now?
Yes, it is. But also, the Massachusetts Megabucks is $10 million. So let's, you know, play that, and then if we win, I'll give you some, and you'll give me some. Is that fair?
If I play that and win, would I give you some? I kind of missed that. Was that the question?
No, I say I'll win. If we either one of us win, we'll give each other some.
Okay.
$10 million. What the heck?
I know this sounds really stupid, but I thought, what if I won, say, $10 million? How would I handle that? I can't even put my VCR on the correct time. How would I handle that kind of money? You know, I mean, what would I do with it? You can't just put it in the bank and let it sit there for interest, because everybody will say, you know, at the bank they pay, what, 3% interest or 4%, whatever it is. You're not getting any kind of a return. Do something with it.
I'll be your financial advisor.
Oh, get out of here.
I'll go from entertainment director to financial advisor. I'll advise you correctly.
No, the point is you want to get some kind of a financial person who can help you.
Oh, sure.
Who knows? But then again, who would you get? How would you trust anybody? How would you know? You know, so I think the best bet, and I think I would become a real fathead. I think I'm a nice person now, being destitute. And so I think the way life is now, I think that would just complicate things. I would not want to win that kind of money. It would just screw up my whole life. I'd sit around worried about whether or not I'm getting enough interest back on this, whether I've invested in the right things.
But look at all the nice things you could do for people. See, that's what I like to do. I mean, I would do some things for myself, like buy my apartment building and throw my landlord in jail. But outside of that, I mean, you know, do things to make yourself comfortable. But then look at all the people you could help. See, I like to do
that. Yeah,
that
would be nice. You know what I'd like to do? I'd like to found a university or a college.
Mm-hmm.
I'd call it the University of Nauman. Or Nauman University.
And what
wouldn't
would
that
they
be nice to have a college named after you?
Sure. And then what would you? I mean, what would the? What am I trying to say?
I don't know.
What would the people who come there learn? That's right.
It's kind of an awkward. They'd learn how to put their sentences together a little bit better than that, first of
English?
All. They did learn English. Well, earn English, as I'm still learning it as a second language. They would learn, I don't know, it would be just, you know, general...
Radio?
General arts. No, I would open a college to teach people radio. What would they learn? If they learned how to do a program like I do, they'd never get a job. I've just been around so long that I just happen to be here. But if I were starting out today, I'd never get a job in this business doing this kind of a program.
Well, if I had a station, I would hire
you
tomorrow.
You don't have a station.
Well, if I won the lottery and I could buy a station, I would hire you anytime.
I think we've arrived at a dead end with this conversation, if you want to know
okay.
the truth, Rod.
I'm going to say goodnight, and I'm going to listen, and I expect to hear some terrible thing that's happened to Fred.
Some terrible things
happened
to
Fred? He'll call you and give you a whole speech. Fred.
Oh, Fred.
I mean, he hasn't called you yet.
Oh, Fred, yeah.
So, I mean, that'll, you know, be the exciting part of the night, I mean, but...
Fred, the guy who stood you up in New Jersey.
Right.
Oh.
But anyway.
Oh, you're lucky for that.
I think so. I really do.
Okay, hey, nice to talk
with
you.
All right, well, listen, I'm glad you're feeling a little bad, but you didn't sound like you were feeling so good.
Well,
so, I mean,
I don't know.
I worry about you.
I know, and it's nasty to say this, but some of the early calls were really kind of boring. You know, and it just kind of bothers me. I keep thinking, people who tune in like to giggle and laugh and hear some interesting stuff. And how far do I let boring calls go and inflict them on people? See, right now, I know there are people going to call and say, Nathan has gotten so crutchy.
No,
you know?
I understand.
He's not like Bob Raleigh. Bob is a good person. He's a friend to everybody. And listen to Nathan.
I understand because I heard you last week when you yelled at that lady who... You know, was talking about how sick she was. I understand because, I mean, you know, let's face it, you know what's wrong with me, and there's another lady who calls you who has had some very serious operation, and you never know it when she calls you. She calls you on occasion.
No, but when somebody, especially when somebody, that was Golden, when she calls you for four years, and starting 4 years ago saying, this is the last call I'm going to make. You know, she sounds like she's going to die on the phone. And 4 years later, she's saying the same thing and telling that to David Brudner, who, as I mentioned, has been through such hell, you know, and is still, you know, sitting there, I'm sure, worried to death about his own future. And she tells him that. I mean, how can you have sympathy?
Right.
We've all lost people. You've been ill, you know.
Right.
I lost my wife. You don't need to listen to that crap. I mean, she's a self-indulgent, stupid woman.
By speaking
and
of
those
death,
are her good points.
I'm cleaning all these papers since, you know, I'm cleaning for 4 years, and I found some very nice articles that your wife had written about Dave Maynard in the past. I had, because I've saved everything. I mean,
well,
you know.
I'm going to write reviews about him and change the whole tenor, tell what he really is like.
Okay, we'll do it together.
Now, Dave used to come to our house quite often, as a matter of fact. I can't remember why. Oh, I think at the time, I guess he lived on the North Shore.
Right.
But anyway, I can still see him sitting on our sofa in the family room, and while we talk, we a lot of times. So we got to be quite close.
Well, I think I'm trying to figure out what the date of Dave, the March 17th, is. Today is like the 3rd, right?
Well, today's Saturday is the 4th, so the 11th and the 18th
Friday. If you'll be on the air, so you might want to call, because he's going to go to Ireland and march in the St. Patrick's Day parade on his birthday.
No, I think that would be nice to do that. Yes, I think it'd be very nice.
Get the number, and maybe you'd like to call him that night.
I would like that.
I don't know what time it is, though. We'll have
it's
to check.
It's 5 hours ahead of us.
5 hours ahead.
Yeah, they're same as England. It's 5 hours ahead. So if we called him like about 3 or 4 in the morning, it would be like 9 o'clock in the morning their time.
All right. Well, I'll check it out, and I'll get all that information as your entertainment reporter is still working to make your program.
Okay, and thank you very much for not ticking me off. Thanks to you and Denise.
You're welcome.
I'm getting
because
through
you
this.
Know I love you madly.
Honest to God.
Honest to God, I love you.
Okay, take care. Bye, Ruth.
And they were broadcasting a show that I used to love when I was a kid. Can you top this?
Oh, yeah. The little sort of the, I was going to say round table discussion thing, but it was a scripted. No, it wasn't a scripted. People would tell jokes.
That's right. It was only scripted to the fact that the the moderator, Peter Donald, would tell somebody's joke, and the other three panelists had to top it on the laugh or equal it on the laugh meter.
That's right. That's right. The laugh meter was a laugh meter anyway. It registered the reaction of the audience to the joke.
Most of the jokes they told were terrible, but the thing was that they were so good at telling them they could take a joke that I couldn't possibly make funny and make you roll on the floor.
Who were the panelists on that? Do you recall?
It was Joe Lurie Jr.
Yeah.
Senator Ford and Harry Hirschfeld.
That's right. That's right. In Haverhill, at the Haverhill Public Library, next Tuesday afternoon at 2:15, I forget the name of the group. The women of the library have an organization. Anyway, I'll be up there talking with them on this talk. This is coming Tuesday afternoon, 2:15. I usually don't mention where I'm going to be because I figure that's the kind of publicity, and I shouldn't use this radio station to mention that. Also, most of them are private organizations, and they're kind of private parties. But I think this may be open to the public. I think so. So I look forward to going to my mother's hometown. My mother was born in Haverhill, so it's a city that means a lot to me, and I'll be up there Tuesday at 2:15 in the afternoon with my tapes and stuff.
Well, you're a local boy just like I am.
Yeah, I was born in Massachusetts.
Yeah, I was born in New Bedford. My parents were living in Bourne at the time. We grew up in Kingston. My mother was born in Bourne. My father was born in East Bridgewater. So we're all local.
Okay, you were born south of, your folks are south.
South Shore, right.
South Shore. My folks were Merrimack Valley, my mother Haverhill and my father Lawrence. That time way back.
Yeah, it was in the 50s. The early 50s?
Yeah, it was. That's right, it was.
Yeah,
it was the U.S.
Norm Prescott and,
Norm Prescott was the program director there,
yeah,
and there was Alan Derry was doing a thing called the Derry Go-Round.
Yeah.
And there was a guy named Bob Swan doing a thing called the Swan Boat. We had all these cutesy
titles. Well, I remember going
titles.
In after school, and they'd give out products, you know, whatever the sponsors were, it was Progresso soup and stuff, and I'd come up with a shopping bag full of stuff. But what I really wanted to ask you about was, your wife used to write a column.
That's right,
for
the Boston Herald. That's
yes.
right. Yes.
And she used to mention a fellow in the column, Sal Vella, and I think he's an old neighbor of mine from East Boston, and I'd love to get in touch with him.
Yeah, I don't have any information on that at all. I don't even know that name.
He's a producer, I think, of like records and.
Sal Vella.
Sal Vella, V-E-L-L-A.
Sal Vella. Sal Vella.
Yeah, and she mentioned him many times in her column, and I kept saying to my husband, "Well, I'll write in and I'll ask, you know," and then, you know, I never did. And I'd really like to get hold. You know, as you get older, you want to hang up, get all these things together, you know. And
I understand because I'm in the same boat you are, but.
Yeah.
I don't know that name.
Yeah.
I feel funny, but I should know it, I suppose.
Well, he had a record out at one time.
Was he a singer? Was he a performer himself?
He was a singer. He had one. He was a boxer and a singer.
V-E-L-L-A?
Vella, yeah. Sal Vella. His sister's name was Dolly. And he lived two doors up from me in on Liverpool Street in East Boston. And when I was 9 or 10 years old, and he chummed around with my brother, and then we moved out of East Boston, we moved to Stoneham, and we just kind of lost contact. I went back a couple of times and visited his folks, and then I guess they're both, you know, I'm sure deceased, the same as mine are, but I'd really like to get in touch with him. And
yeah, unless somebody can call and tell me, give me some information. I wish I could help you, Judy,
yeah,
and I really can't.
Yeah, but you talk about, you know, my husband listens to you all the time. I have to work, so I'm in bed usually. But he talks about, you know, you talk about your mother. You used to talk about your mother all the time about working in Feline's basement.
That's right. Did he know my mother?
No. I'm saying he tells me what you say.
Oh, I see.
On
yes,
the radio.
She did. She worked in the lower basement of Feline, sewing baby clothes.
Yeah,
and
I said, she must have been one super person.
She was very special, very, very special.
Yeah, and it just reminds me so much of growing up, all the things you mentioned about going to the show
and Chelsea, and of course East Boston, Chelsea, you know, interchangeable.
Yeah.
And even though it's across the river, but you know, I think of so many things that I just identify with you.
And there you ended up in Pepperell, which is way away from there.
Yeah, and that's funny. My father, the first time my father came up here, he says they had to pack a lunch down to visit me. But it was, I think it's just, when we came up here, it was, you know, of course it's money. The houses were cheaper, you know. And,
well, it's a pretty area also. I know you have family,
what, Mason, New Hampshire? The center by the gas station, just go straight. And the bridge is right there. And it is one of the last ones in New England. And it's in pretty good condition. So it's really pretty.
Well, good. I'm glad to talk to you, Judy.
Okay. Well, that's all. You know, if there's anything, you know, for sale, do you want me to call back some other time? Or is
no, just keep listening. If anybody knows, they'll probably call right away.
Yeah, because I really would like to get in touch with him.
Okay.
Oh, well, thank you. And have a nice weekend.
You're welcome. Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
It's from the January-February issue of last year. And it's by Marion Gibbons of Geneva, New York, who apparently reads the magazine and says she remembers so much of the stuff in the past, those fantastic 40s. So I wish I could do this kind of rap style. I'm not sure I'd be good at that, or whether we need some background music. So let's just read it anyway. Baby Snooks, Big Little Books, and Gangbusters Who Caught the Crooks, Fireside Chats, and Easter Hats, those crazy dancers called Hepcats, Major Bo's Gong, a Kate Smith song, Dorothy L'Amour and her sarong, Dick Hames and Harry James and Leo the Lip at Dodger Games, a War Bond Rally and Rudy Valley and Mrs. Nussbaum of Allen's Alley, Amos and Andy, Mahatma Gandhi, Little Orphan Annie and her dog Sandy, Errol Flynn and Gunga Din, Evelyn and her magic violin, Rosemary Clooney and Mickey Rooney, Louis Pasteur was really Paul Muni, Count Basie, George Burns and Gracie, that wonderful team of Hepburn and Tracy, Joel McRae and Turhan Bay, Jack Benny, his Maxwell, you know, and Dennis Day. Gable was king, Benny Goodman was swing, the Andrews sisters could really sing, the Burma Hump, the 1 o'clock jump, and that chinless wonder, Andy Gump, Priscilla Lane, and Mule Train and those westerns starring Big John Wayne, Milton Berle and Minnie Pearl and Benny Grable. That is not Benny Grable. Betty Grable, the pinup girl, the London Blitz and Messerschmitts, the Katzenjammer kids were Hans and Fritz, Vic Damone, To Each His Own, and Garbo Wanted to Be Alone, Louis Prima and Hiroshima and Raising the Flag on Iwo Jima, Frankenstein, the Maginot Line, the Breakfast Club each morning at 9, Vaughn Monroe and Vinegar Joe, Life Boy Really Stopped, B.O., Blind Dates and Ford V8s, and there were only 48 states, a rumble seat and cream of wheat, Bull Halsey commanded the 7th Fleet, a Pepsodent smile was right in style, like Hit Parade, it's So Long for a While. Remember that one? So Long for a While. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, it's on.
It's on.
All lines are now open. All lines are now open. You can call now, and you have no trouble getting through. I thought they were all asleep, but they're there. Okay, well, I'll start the day with a little laughter, okay? I was going to say to Tony, I'll bet you Jenna Rose has some kind of a function going on with her church in Peabody today. Is that correct?
No, it is not. See?
I missed. See? Shame on me.
Shame on you, because I said this is one time I'm not going to mention that St. Adelaide's Church.
You did.
But I did. No, what prompted me to call, honey, was that I heard that lady from Pepro Farmery's Bostonian call and ask about a singer. What was his name? Was it Sam?
Sal Vella.
Oh, Sal. V-E-L-L-A?
V-E-L-L-A. Sal, S-A-L, as in Salvador, I guess.
Yeah.
Sal Vella.
Yeah. I never heard of him.
And, I thought you were going to supply us with all kinds of information.
No, but you know what I'm going to do?
Yeah.
There are a couple of my husband's old musician friends still around. I'm going to give them a buzzle wuzzle, and I'll see what I can find out.
Okay, that would be very nice.
Yeah. You know, anything to help my fellow...
Okay, and maybe this woman will send me a note and tell me, you know, with her name and address, so that if you get the information to me, I'll send it out to her.
Oh, that will be great.
Well, that's because that's the kind of fellow that we both are.
I know that. You don't have to tell me how good you are.
Well, no, I mean, that's how good both of us are.
Oh, is that right? Thank you for including me. No, I'll, but I will. I'm going to get in touch with a couple of the guys and see what I can come up with.
Okay, that would be
dear?
Nice. That would be nice. Thank you very much, General.
I'll be talking to you. My love to the girls.
Bob Batchelder over at the Village Green. He's there with his rehearsal band every other Wednesday night, as I've mentioned. This is not a commercial plug, because there's no admission charge. You don't have to buy booze. You go in and sit there, just listen. Don't have to buy anything. I mean, it's a free night. And he's got this big, I think it's a 15-piece band. It's at least 15 pieces. And he was rehearsing the other night for a debut. He's not a debut, but he's going to be on the on Channel 2 for a fundraiser. And when do they not have fundraisers on Channel 2? This is next to Monday night. So, if you've heard me talk about the Batchelder Man, which is quite a good one, you can catch them live sometime around 8 o'clock, I think it is, on Monday night, I guess, something like that. Why don't you sit down and talk with me for a little bit? Can you do that?
Yeah, I can do that.
Okay. This is Tony I'm talking about. Tony Nesbitt, getting all stuff ready for the morning news team, eh?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I am.
Because Bill Ars will be here soon.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, he's probably been here since about 7 o'clock yesterday evening.
He was.
Because he comes here very early, and he and his entire crew, Susan Rist, I think?
No, actually, it's we have Bob McMahon and Lana Jones.
Oh, and Lana Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's a good crew, too, and they will be bringing us up to date with everything that you need to know about anything.
Including, I have the latest weather forecast.
Oh, the latest weather. Would you run through that with us?
Sure, I'd love to.
Okay, because I know you want to cup your ear like the big-time weather guys do and with broadcasters.
Okay.
If you want to talk like this, that's okay,
I'll have
too.
To put
nothing
my elbow,
wrong with that.
I have to put my elbow on the counter, too, because the it's supposed to resonate or something.
That's right. You cup your ear, and you have your elbow on the counter. That's right, and it makes your voice to you.
Uh-huh.
Not to anybody else listening, but to you, it makes it sound deeper.
With or without headphones?
Well, see, if you have headphones, you don't need to do that.
Okay.
See, we used to do that because we didn't have headphones. I worked for very poor stations who couldn't afford headphones.
What if I cut my headphone? Maybe
that might be
that
even
could enhance it doubly, I guess.
I would guess so, yeah.
All right, well, we have today. I should have pre-read this, so I may stutter. Cloudy to partly sunny. Okay. With a couple of flurries, especially near the coast. I think you read this earlier. High near 36. Tonight and tomorrow, plenty of clouds. Low tonight, 26 to 30. High tomorrow, 36. Monday, cloudy with rain, especially in the morning. High near 40. And on Tuesday, cloudy with chance of rain in the afternoon. High 44. We're getting up there, closing in on 50.
Yeah, we're getting up there, but every time they mention that, like earlier this week, they were talking about getting up to the 40s earlier in the week, then they kept putting it off.
Yeah, they were only like 26 degrees off one of those days.
And then one of the forecasts this past day was going to be up around 50 by Monday. Now you're putting it off till Tuesday.
And it's only going to be 44.
44, yeah, so... You know something? Come closer. I don't want them to hear this, because as it is, enough people throw stones at them anyhow. You sometimes wonder if they know what they're talking about, these meteorologist people. You think they do?
No, I don't.
I mean, they come on television especially, and they're wearing nice suits. So they must be making a pretty good buck. You know,
sure.
They can afford these nice clothes and nice shirts, all well-pressed and everything, and nice ties.
Yeah.
And they never come back the next day and say, you know what I told you yesterday? I'm so embarrassed it didn't come out that way. They go on like they never predicted wrongly. That really bothers me. I want them to come on and be contrite and apologize.
That'll be every night. Yeah,
well, whenever, you know, whenever it happens. Whenever the weather does not come out the way they said it was. Why don't they say, I'm throwing myself at your mercy. I predicted it would be, and it didn't turn out that way. I'm so pleased.
Gary LaPierre on his, LaPierre on the Loose this past Wednesday, his Dope Slap Wednesday, was one of the dope slaps, was to meteorologists. And one of the complaints was, they say, tomorrow the high will be 36, the high will be 42. Where do they get the exact number from? Can't they have the low 40s, the high 30s, round it off like that? Why do they have to be exact? And then he mentioned about, of course, one of the days that it was supposed to be near 40, it was only 19 or something that day, and we had ice all over the place.
That, you know, you understand now why Gary LaPierre is my soulmate.
I know.
I think along those very same lines.
Yeah, maybe we should have Norm on the Loose. What we call Norm?
Norm on the Loose.
Nathan.
I used to do a feature called Nathan's Notebook. Does that appeal to you at all?
That could be it. Sure. Why not?
I
can see the graphics if you had a TV show too. A little notebook and the pencil. Nathan's Notebook.
Yeah.
Some theme music.
Yeah.
You can do that for radio, the theme music,
just making my ear comments about stuff, you know. Things that people could identify with would be nice.
Maybe you think if you went into Brian and proposed that, they might say, yeah, we could use another feature during the day.
I mean, they've already got Dr. Lonnie Carton.
Senior editor of Education Today.
Yes, and her feature is called...
The Learning Center. The Learning Center.
In the Learning Center.
Mm-hmm.
In the Learning Center. Yeah. You know what really bothers me? Let's put the Lonnie Carton aside, because I don't want this to apply to Dr. Lonnie Carton.
Okay.
PhDs who go around as doctor. It really bothers me, you know. I know I shouldn't say this, because she's an employee of this very, very same radio station. Never stopped you before. No, it didn't. What sparked it off was the other day I was watching some program. You know, all these daytime talk shows,
mm-hmm.
they very often will have a psychologist on. Not a psychiatrist who is a real doctor,
mm-hmm.
but a psychologist who is a PhD doctor, doctor of philosophy. Okay. And no matter what the problem is, they know all about it. You know... Anyway, Joyce Brothers was on, and she always says, this is Dr. Joyce Brothers. Now, I know technically she is a doctor. PhDs are doctors, doctor of philosophy. But the idea is people, when they hear doctor, think of medical doctor,
mm-hmm.
which is a whole different connotation. You know, you think of a doctor as someone who mends broken bodies.
Yep.
Someone who can take the
something
ill.
Medical,
yeah, and heal people,
yeah.
and all that kind of stuff. And have to have a tremendous amount of experience, you know, and not only...
From dentists to, like you said, psychiatrists and pediatricians and all the medical field like that. Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
I mean, they have a tremendous amount, you know, interns. They have to work as interns and really
residencies
work up. They work for forever, so they understand the human body. Now, when you say doctor, even as a PhD, and even though you have a right to say that, because that's what you are, people kind of assume that you're a medical doctor. And I think that's quite deceptive. So when Joyce Brothers comes on, this is Dr. Joyce Brothers, I want to say, up yours, man. If I got an infection in my toe, I wouldn't even call you, because you have no idea what that is.
Yeah.
It just bothers me. I just hate PhDs. They call themselves doctors.
She's a psychologist, right?
A psychologist.
Yeah.
Oh, well, this is not quite the same thing as a medical doctor. Okay.
It probably brought up another $20,000, $30,000 in salary at some time.
Well, I mean, I think it leads people to believe that you're more powerful and more knowing in certain areas than you really are.
Yeah.
And I think it's a phony kind of thing. And I'm getting my PhD, and I'm going to be the first to call myself Dr. Nathan.
You've got to get an honorary doctorate and something.
It's kind of funny, because a very close friend of mine, who I really like and who I've always respected, I just found, and I've known him for years, about a week ago,
mm-hmm.
Maybe a month ago, well, maybe 2 months ago.
Maybe it was yesterday.
Maybe it was last year. I found out he was a PhD.
Yeah.
Right.
No clue. The Heimlich maneuver. She had no clue.
Well, let me have some fresh fruit.
Stop for a minute.
So I really respect that for him. And Bill Lawrence is a doctor of news, information, philosophy, and old bones.
Yes.
He's probably, nobody knows more about old bones than he does. and that's why he's kind of interested in my case, I think. Anyway, but he doesn't call himself doctor, and I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's time to say goodbye. Thank you, Dr. Nesbitt.
Say, I do have a doctorate. Thank you very much.
And I happen to be Dr. Norm Nathan in the Non-Learning Center. And I'll see it tonight, 11. Got an interesting guest tonight about the death of rock and roll.
Yep, Gary J. Katz.
And this is about how rock and roll people die?
Yep.
That sounds like a swell...
there's a barn burner.
That sounds like a fun topic. We ought to enjoy that.
Dirt and Dirge on the Norm Nathan
Show
tonight.
And maybe Sunday night we could talk about well-known doctors and PhDs who've been murdered and tortured. See you later.
But were they really doctors when they died?
Go
it's a big
away.
Scandal.
Coming out. The jingle package, folks.
Yeah, now what is that?
Well, it gives you all the, they do a lot of world-famous jingles for all the radio stations and different broadcast personalities.
Oh, I see. Isn't that interesting? It's because somebody had sent me some jingles that were on this station in a disc, a record form. I meant to bring that in and play that, some old WBZ jingles. But this, what you're talking about is jingles from a whole lot of stations like that?
From all over the country and, a matter of fact, all over the world.
Oh, I'd love to hear that.
And, it's coming out. I can't... If you'll put me back to your producer, I'll give him the number off the air.
I will do that.
I don't want to be at the plug here because this is something I heard on a shortwave broadcast that was strictly for AMDXers.
What is an AMDXer?
Well, in other words, you like to listen to stations that are... If you live in Boston, you might want to have a special radio and you pick up stations out in Iowa or Alabama or something like that. Is there a person who would like to listen to SKIP, as they call it, faraway radio stations on AM?
Oh, I get you.
They turn their radio a certain way and twist the antenna around so they can block out maybe a 50,000-watt station and pick up a 5,000-watt station that's broadcasting in the other direction, you know?
And you can do that, huh?
With certain antennas and certain radios, you can do that. And they're fairly inexpensive radios that can do that, too. You don't need a $2,000 piece of machinery.
Mm.
But it's a hobby that I've got, and I picked up some fairly foreign stations here, even stations in the Caribbean here in New Jersey, which is unusual.
Oh, that sounds like fun. Well, you know, at one time, I used to do that late at night. Remember, overnight, they used to have programs that they would never put on during the day because they were so far out, you know. I mean, by far out, I don't mean, you know, all esoteric or anything, but just kind of, you know, really bad in some cases. And a lot of them would be from nightclubs.
Mm-hmm.
And you get a host, hello there, hi there, honest, you look like Albert Einstein. We have Albert Einstein in the club. What do you say, honey? What do you, you know, and you go on and on like this with these name droppers and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But now there's all you do is get all the syndicated stuff. Now, you picking up all these other AM stations around, do you get different local programming, especially at night? I mean, programs that are different, or are they all broadcasting pretty much the same syndicated things?
Well, you get some local things, and also at certain times of the broadcast year, you'll find that certain radio stations are asked to go off the air so that people who do this AMDXing or skip reception can get the local stations that are far away that they may not get because, let's say, WBZ or another 50,000-watt radio station might be on a frequency that blocks them.
So you would tell these stations, like you would tell us at BZ, go off the air so I can pick up this other little station?
Well, I guess during transmitter maintenance and other things that may have to happen, you know.
Okay.
Periodically, you know, the station goes off for 10 minutes and all these guys get, you know, they get all excited. Wow, I got a station in Idaho. Who cares?
No, I think that's fun if the programming is different because... Then you pick up, you know, all kinds of shades of all kinds of different things throughout the country or through whatever the reach might be. And I think that's great. It's just that radio has become so much the same. And very few, if I may tout our own horn here, very few Do you tout a horn? That seemed like a wrong... Anyway, aside from
that's
that...
That's toot, Norman. That's the toot, Boston toot. Accent coming in.
That's right. It's toot your own horn.
Toot your own horn.
I know it was something like that.
You'll be saying that in a couple of weeks.
But the idea is that we broadcast local programming overnight, and very few stations do. You know, so I just wondered if you tuned around and picked up stations, do you get many that do, especially on AM, do you really get different programming, or is it, do you get the Jim Bohannon show every place across the country?
Well, you do get a lot of local programming, and you do find that some of the DJs that are on really don't have the pipes that the old guys used to do back in the old days. You get some high, squeaky, little thin-voiced man there, and some country stuff, you know?
Yeah.
You know, don't keep, what do you call it? If you want to keep the beer cold, put it next to my ex-wife's heart, you know, songs like that.
Well, that's, oh, the songs, that's right, too. Put my shoes away, Mommy, because I don't expect to wear them again. I expect to be dead by morning.
Oh.
Blues.
Oh.
You know, you get a lot of that kind of stuff, yeah.
Well, listen, I will give you the number of this production thing to your producer.
Okay, I'm going to turn you over to the ever-popular... Jim.
Hey, whatever happened
Jim
to...
Jim Frawley.
Whatever happened to a former producer that used to be up there that was on with Larry... I can't say his last name.
Oh, Larry Glick, you can say it. His, and the guy you're talking about is probably Kenny Meyer.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kenny works for the city of Boston, and so far as I know, is not in broadcasting anymore, which is too bad because I know he loves the business. But mm-hmm. He was the Muck and Meyer.
Muck and Meyer, that's right.
Yes, and he worked here for a lot of years with Larry, who they ought to both be in radio.
Hmm.
Still, I mean, because Larry was fun. However, if he tries to take this program away from me, I'll fight him right to the
end. I bet you would, Norman. It's been a pleasure talking with you.
Okay, hold on. Here's Jim Frawley. He'll take the information.
Thank you, sir. Have a good night.
You have a good night, too.
Sure.
Because I saw in the Eliza Gibbons show the other day,
that
we were talking about that last week, hearing on last Monday morning's Eliza Gibbons show, and the idea of the program was people who proposed in unorthodox, kind of unusual kind of ways, and that was you.
That was me.
And you were mentioning how you did that. Was this a drive-in theater?
Yeah, it was at the drive-in movies in Milford, New Hampshire.
Yeah, because that's what you seem to have been saying, and I was trying to think if there were still some drive-in theaters left. Obviously, there is one up there.
It wasn't easy to find.
Okay. tell us how you set that up.
Well, the first thing I did is I got the idea, and I went to the theater owner to see if he would, you know, to see how I could go about doing it, see if he would show the movie for me in between the, you know,
well, tell us for people who haven't heard that or haven't seen Lisa about this movie. This is a movie involving your fiance and a whole lot of, what, stills and things you had taken?
Yeah, it's a collage of pictures, just snapshots of us together, and they kind of fade into each other, and there's music in the background. James Taylor's Your Smiling Face was the music. And at the beginning, the words came up, said, a message from Ken to Kristen, and then it played all the pictures and the song, and then at the end it said, will you marry me? And my voice came on, and I said, you know, I asked her to marry me at the drive-ins. And then we had all of our, well, I had called up all of our friends and family beforehand to come to the drive-ins and sort of sneak in there, and so she wouldn't know anybody was there in their cars and hide out until that came on, and then everyone came out and joined us. We had champagne.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Now, when you mentioned this to the man who ran the drive-in theater, did he offer any kind of resistance at all, or did he say, hey, I'm a guy who loves romance, what a great idea? What was his attitude?
He thought it was a great idea. He was all up for it. The only thing is, he didn't think that I was going to be able to get it done, because you have to film it in 35 millimeter film, which is real movie film. You can't just use a video camera or a camcorder, or you can't transfer a video to film, and you can't transfer any other kind of film except for a 35 millimeter camera, and it's kind of tough to get that done. But I found a guy out of Newton who helped me out with it. He's a big help.
Were there other people? I mean, obviously there were other people at the drum. When was this done? Obviously this was that one, like last summer, last fall?
It was September 25th, not last September, but the September before.
Were there a lot of people at the theater there at this drive-in that came up to you afterwards? Because that'd be a big shock to them, too. They were not expecting this.
No, it was crowded. And all kinds of people were all crowded around the cars. And there was, I really didn't expect this, but there was, you know, TV people there and newspaper people. I guess the drive-in owner had alerted the media. That was his whole angle, I guess, why he thought it was such a great idea.
It was for the publicity and stuff, and somehow... Right. Lisa Gibbons got it from him, or
no? Then I just recently Ross Jewelers had a contest, True Love Stories.
Oh yeah.
And someone told me about it, and I entered it, and I sent them a videotape, and I won. It was a $2,500 gift certificate to Ross Jewelers, and then the Ross Jewelers people called up Lisa Gibbons, and that's how they found out about it.
Okay, because I did see the show last Monday, and this is the first time I've ever seen you, because we talk. And people think that we're sitting across the table from each other, but we're not, because you're at the traffic headquarters, or whatever you want to call it.
It's hard to
up
believe.
In the Prudential Center. So I see this guy come on with his, you know, and I'm thinking, I wonder if that's Ken Newman, with this good-looking guy with this beautiful woman, and you look like a couple of matinee idols, both of you. I really resented that, because you're both incredibly attractive.
I'll stop. Oh, go on.
Okay. Anyway, and it was. She said, you know, Ken Newman, and your fiance's name, I've forgotten. I'm sorry.
It's Kristen.
Kristen, okay. And she has a last name, too, that...
Kristen Koenig.
Okay. She'll have that for a while now. You've set a wedding date for this summer, is it?
It's September 29th.
September 20th, okay.
September 29th, okay. Coming up.
But it was a lovely moment. It was kind of funny to hear your... this sounds kind of stupid, because people always tell you this when they meet you and they have never seen you but only heard you on radio. Well, you don't look like I thought you'd look, and look, it's funny looking at that physical being and that voice that I know so well coming out of a body that I doesn't look at all familiar to me. But I thought of that as I watched you. You must be about 9 feet tall. Are you
not quite nine, just under. Eight, 7.5.
No. How tall are you really?
6'2".
Yeah, 6'2". And this is a good-looking guy. You ought not to be on hiding out at the Prudential doing traffic reports. You ought to be on television, which I kind of have a feeling that may be your goal anyway.
Well, that would be nice, but...
You don't care. You just love what you're doing, whatever it is, as long as you can serve the public.
Exactly.
Give me all that kind of baloney.
Exactly.
No, nobody's going to believe it.
I'm just happy that people can listen to my reports and not get involved in traffic jams.
There's somebody who followed my... Oh, that's right. You're not only a good-looking guy with a beautiful fiancé, but you are a humanitarian, and the world welcomes you to its bosom. Anyway, all the kids here, the Teen Cat team, are applauding between their tears.
The studio audience.
Yeah, their hands are wet with tears dripping down to their palms. But I was, I got some calls at home, some people who somehow discovered where, you know, my phone number. And I was, you know, I was watching it, so I wasn't answering the phone during that period. And the answering machine said, apparently you're not seeing Ken Newman. He's on television right now on Lisa's program, and that's what he said he was going to... It was kind of like, Nathan, don't you remember he said he was going to be on? Why are you not watching it, you dumb cluck? And I was watching it, which is why I didn't answer the phone.
Oh, that's
but
funny.
It was fun to watch. Did you watch it with your fiancé?
She was at work.
Oh, don't let me down like that.
She couldn't watch it.
She was at work. She was changing typewriter ribbons. You're going to say something kind of mundane like that.
Well, I videotaped it, and then she came home, and we watched it together.
Yeah, it was a lovely thing. I wish you the very, very best. It was beautiful. Plus the fact that Lisa, I thought, looked rather lovely then. I was going to propose to her, but she kept mentioning her husband. I really resented that a whole lot.
Up close, you should see her. She's very pretty, but... you wouldn't believe how much makeup they put on. It's just amazing amount.
I noticed that she scratched her nose and there was about an inch dent.
That's about right.
As the powder dripped down her mouth. Now you're spoiling everything.
No, but she's really nice, though. She's...
Okay. Hey, best wishes. We'll dedicate later on when we play the dumb birthday game, we'll dedicate it to you guys. That doesn't mean anything. It's not as nice as the $2,500 gift certificate for Morris Jewelry, but what the heck.
Hey, that's great, though. That would be just fantastic. I appreciate that, Norm.
I imagine you'll probably want to tape that, and you probably want to both listen to it during the weeks and years that lie ahead.
Yes.
Thank you. Anyway, best wishes to you. It was fun to see you both.
Well, thanks a lot.
Okay, bye-bye.
I'm going to dress up in her outfit and talk about her life from 1830 to 1860 in Lowell. And all of the things that I say will actually be true things that happened to people in Lowell in those years. I'm going to be telling some amazing things about how she walked all the way down from Quebec to Boston when she first arrived in Quebec in a speedboat from County Cork.
My word, how long ago was that?
This was in 1828, and I don't think people in my audience always believe me when I say that's what happened. But based on the research that I've done, people really made that kind of a walk from Quebec to Boston.
That's a long walk.
Well, you know, some of them didn't make it, John.
I can imagine.
There are Irish living in New Hampshire and Maine and so forth who never quite made it all the way down to Boston.
And there are cemeteries up there as well, yes.
I would imagine so. Now, of course, we didn't all come all that way. Some of us landed in Boston and New York. But if you came over on a speed boat, which was the absolute cheapest way, then you might well land in Quebec.
I'll be doggone. Well, now tell me about the performances and what the ticket prices are.
Sure. It's March 10 through 12 and March 17 through 19. And the performances on Sundays are matinees. The other ones are at night at 8 o'clock. And it's at the Charlestown Working Theater. The phone number is 242-3285. And ticket prices are $12 and $10 for seniors.
Thank you, Sharon, very much.
Thank you.
May your cows never run dry.
Oh, lovely.
One classroom.
Okay.
So there's a number you can call, and if you call it, they tell you the winning number, and now they tell you how many winners. They don't say where how much it was.
Okay, because normally during the night, because I have the winning numbers, I just, during the night, usually, and very soon, they will tell how many winners and where the ticket was sold, but I don't have that on here yet, and
yeah.
Son of a gun, you beat us to the gun.
Well, I have the amount, but I don't know where the ticket was sold, so that's why I was calling to see if you check your pocket, if you bought your ticket.
Let's see, hold on.
Because I'm all set, I have the architecture ready and everything.
Okay,
the architecture, how's that?
Architecture.
We're going to do English first.
Yeah. That's, apparently you're studying English as a second language, same as I am.
That's right, like you're typing.
Okay, yeah, that's right.
I'm teaching you typing.
Oh, as a matter of fact, I think I mentioned yesterday, I'm getting caught up with my correspondence now because I finally figured out how to work that typewriter I bought. Typewriters are not like they used to be. As I mentioned yesterday, you press code, then you press numbers to get margins, and it gets crazy.
I know.
However, the megabucks, let's see, I have 5, 9, 10, 14, 34... and 36.
I had three of them, though. I did, on my ticket.
You had three of them.
But you get a
what
free
is that,
ticket.
What does that get?
A free ticket and a phone call to Norman.
A phone call to Norman.
Yeah, a free ticket. That's all you get.
What do you get with three? What do you get with four and five?
$75. Isn't that terrible?
With four?
Yeah. And if you get five, they changed it, and you get $1,500 now. You used to get $400. I once got $400. Dave Maynard and I played together, and we won. We got five out of six numbers, and we missed $305,000 by one number.
Isn't that enough to just to grind out your liver?
And now that all this time has passed, I mean, so you didn't get your ticket, I can tell.
No, I don't buy lottery tickets. I'm not talking against it or anything, and I'm not on any crusade. I just never. I mean, you have to have an attitude. about any kind of contest that you have a fighting chance to win. Maybe I'm a defeatist.
No, but you see, if they want to have the University of Norman, how are we going to do this? I mean...
No, but see, I don't know. I don't know. I'm going to have to... Maybe I'll sell cakes and stuff.
Some I have a lot of cookbooks you can buy.
Oh, please. Please, don't. Everything leads you into some kind of a pitch.
No.
I don't know, because, I mean, I'm convinced that I will never win any of that stuff.
But see, you have to not... See, English is not my best language. You have to think a different way. You have to have a positive attitude.
I do. I have a positive attitude about everything except things like lottery tickets.
Okay.
Yeah, I have a positive attitude. I even believe that one day I'll make love to, like, Sophia Loren.
Yes, sir,
that's my attitude. I have that.
To her.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you see...
There's probably as much less chance of doing that than there is of winning the mega bucks.
That's right.
But somehow I feel that's possible, and winning the mega bucks for me is not.
Can you imagine a person now looking at their ticket and knowing they have just won $10,128,733? I'd take the $128,733 and be happy for the rest of my life.
I bet you would, you greedy person.
No, I mean, that's not being greedy. I told you I'd give you half.
No, I just said that to be dramatic. I didn't really mean what I just said. Don't ever believe anything I say.
I think it's just kind of fun, you know. It's like, you were saying something earlier today that really struck home with me. I was talking to a friend of mine who was talking to someone else and said, you know, this person needs just a good job. And they said, she's too old. And I thought, now, you know, I think that's terrible to say. Because I think you're really only as old as you feel. I don't feel...
Wait a minute.
Wait, get your pencil.
Okay, and this is... I think I'm going to embroider
it's
this
like
on my daughter.
Yeah,
you're
like,
only as old as you feel.
Like it goes around, comes around, right.
That's good,
but
too.
But the thing is, I don't feel... I don't know how you feel. Like, when you started in the business and everything, and you're still here all these years later, do you really feel a lot different?
I feel more qualified. I feel like I do a better job now than I did back then. But that's kind of hard to prove to anybody, because people will look at you and say, that old poop, you know, isn't about time he stepped aside and let some young kids come in?
You see, and I feel the same. I don't feel any different than I did when I started in the music business. And if somebody came here and said to me, here's the money, produce a television show, I would do it tomorrow.
Yeah, see, but then you'd be still calling on Jerry Vale.
Don Cornell
and all those people.
No. I'm hip. Well, look at Tony Bennett. I mean, give me a break.
Well, that's different. I mean, he's always been great. I've always been a fan of his.
But I understand. But what I'm saying is, I'm just saying in general, I think it's a matter of the mind. I really think
Oh, of course it is. Of course it is. You know, every now and then, this is always strikes me kind of funny. Not long ago, and this happens every now and then, somebody will call and say, hi, Norm. I'm 70 years old. I'm an old person. And I keep thinking, that's practically my age.
Right.
Why do they sound like they're ready? They're going to have cardiac arrest on the phone talking to me.
I know.
Do I sound that old?
No, but
it's true. I mean, it's an attitude.
It is.
That you have. I know kids I grew up with who were born at the age of 70.
Right.
Way back then.
Right.
You know, and they always thought old and every, you know. And anyway, I'm sorry.
That's like...
If you just encourage it, I'll go give one of my long speeches.
How about
on human nature and stuff that'll bore the hell right out of you.
How about Jerry Lewis now? Did you know about him, right?
Yeah, he's in Damn Yankees.
Damn Yankees, 68 years old this month. And he looks great.
He does look good, yeah.
I saw him on TV the other day. And I mean, you know, he's crazy as ever. He's on David Letterman running all around the place and doing all his crazy stuff like he used to do.
Yeah.
And he's had open heart surgery and everything else. And I mean, he looks great. And, you know, that's the whole deal.
I don't need your drugstore philosophy, Ruth. You're making me sick. Just stop it. Stop it.
Okay.
Just fork over your winnings from the lottery.
I don't have any.
And mail it. Move a city like Boston. Thank you. The WBC... You notice I try to dress these things up, Ken Newman. You know, you don't get this during the daytime.
No,
they just
don't.
Say, how is it doing, Ken? Or some kind of a bland intro like that. I try to kind of... put a little drama into these things.
It's exciting every time. Exciting and new every time.
It is exciting. I've got mail here that says that. You can hear these letters I'm holding up. See, in case you think I'm lying, this is proof right here. These are letters I'm holding up. Dear Norm, you make the traffic reports and the intros exciting and new, and certainly encourage guys like Ken Newman. Hold on. It's written in crayon on lined paper. You make guys like Ken Newman just reach the ultimate in excitement because of the way you spur them on with your intros.
This is
typical of tons and tons and tons of letters I get.
Letters just pour in.
Pour in across this reporter's desk. Yeah, they do. And it's kind of nice because the kids in the mailroom look at me with so much respect.
Well,
shove it up your nose, Mr. Nathan, they cry in great adoration. Anyway, why don't I just shut up so you can give the traffic report.
I'll give another exciting report.
Well, he got up and played piano and sang, and he was great.
Oh, was he great?
Because
he told me that he'd been there.
Yep.
And he loved being there, but he didn't tell me he performed. I didn't know that.
Well, you can understand why he wouldn't.
Well, I thought he might say, well, you know, I gave it a...
He wouldn't want you to make any wise comments that he's so well known for.
Well, no. I'm a fan of his. I think Jack Hart is an interesting guy.
He was very good, and we had a lot of fun.
Oh, that's great. That's lovely.
The audience liked it. Just everybody had a good time that night.
Okay, well, he'll be part of that also.
Great.
He won't be here in the studio. He'll be back at the what we call traffic headquarters.
That's right.
You see, and bringing all that kind of big stuff out there. But he'll be part of it. Okay, so that's good. I'll be looking for you, and that's next Friday night at midnight.
And we have another little surprise for you.
Yeah?
Coming to the ever-growing... I'm trying to think of just the right word. The ever-growing list of Norm Nathan theme songs.
Did you do another one?
Yes. Well, it's almost done, and you're going to be the only guy to have so many lovingly crafted theme songs of any radio station.
Oh, because I am really very lucky. Everybody comments on them. They really love them, and I do. I think you do such a good job.
Why, thank you.
Yeah. Usually theme music that's written by somebody for some local program comes out to somebody tinkering away at the piano with some cornball lyric, you know, that really doesn't... And yours are so big and professional and beautiful and lovely. I do appreciate it a whole lot.
No, it was an act of love.
Oh, well, Linda. Oh, God, Linda. I think I'm going to cry.
Directions backed up pretty well. Expect to be spending a fair amount of time there if that's your direction. Expressway northbound and southbound, we're dealing with delays still in and around the Dorchester gas tanks and the Bayside Expo Center while people pour into that structure. Getting in and out of the South Station Tunnel on the expressway northbound and southbound, some moderate volume northbound, a little bit tight. Lower neck of Route 93, heavy getting down towards the Central Artery southbound. 128, 495, the Mass Pike. We're seeing a fair amount of Saturday afternoon volume. So far, no major problems. I'm Jack Hart, WPZ 24-Hour Traffic Network.
Now fly from Boston to Philadelphia and Pittsburgh on Nations Air from only $59. Call your travel agent or Nations Air at 1-800-CITY-JET. Nations Air, your ticketless city jet.
The Musicians Union and stuff and fundraisers for musicians very often are held down there and they have some great music. That's the old Chateau de Ville and now Lombardo's. That's where it was held. That's right. Okay. I don't remember exactly billing. It depends on how far back you go. At one time, there were two musicians union. One was for black musicians and one was for white.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Now, maybe what you're talking about maybe is more recent than that, and maybe, you know, they did integrate, so there's only one musicians union now for both blacks and whites, but it was separate at one time. I don't know the building you're talking about.
Oh, okay. Well, it geographically, it's been turned into condos now, but it would be behind what is now, I think it's the Colonnade or something, right in that, you know, that the Colonnade Hotel is opposite the Prudential Center, and then
behind
that is St. Batal Street.
Right.
And it's a big rectangular brick building, and it's quite attractive. And I remember, you know, I was going to school down in that neighborhood back in the late 60s, and I was interested in this building, which was no longer a musician's union, because my grandfather had, you know, gone down there many times. He used to play the cornet, and I just was wondering if by chance you had ever been in there and could describe, you know, what was happening. And but I guess I could maybe go to the library and get some information on it.
I guess, yeah. I don't know that building at all. I you know, and I've been around for quite some time.
Yeah.
When it was, you know, when it was the Musicians Building and Union Building. No, I don't. I'm not familiar with that.
It has on. It just occurred to me. It has etched into the outside of the building. It has the names of several composers all the way around the building on like a marble strip or something.
Really, it's there now?
It's that's still there. It's been turned into condos, but that sculpture is still intact. So if you go right behind, you know, the St. Patolf. You know, if the St. Patolf restaurant is on the corner
of
the Colonnade, and then if you go down a block toward Boston on the right-hand side, it's on a little corner. It's a good-sized building, and it still has that original embellishment on it.
Is it on the, let's see, what is that street the Colonnade is on? You said Huntington?
That's Huntington, yeah.
Okay, is it on the Huntington Avenue side that the building is on St. Patolf? Or is it on the other side?
It's on the other side.
The other side.
Mountain Resort.
Seven Springs Mountain Resort.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Absolutely wonderful.
You're nice to call.
So, well, thank you very much, and I enjoy your show on the way home.
Thanks a million,
sir.
All
righty.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
As young as you feel, if you get a chance to tune in, it's at 91.9 on your FM dial. I don't know how far out of Boston you can pick it up, but certainly around Boston itself you can. And again, it's the University of Massachusetts, the campus at Columbia Point out that way, Morrissey Boulevard. Be kind of funny because I worked at WHDH for so long, which is at Morrissey Boulevard right next to the UMass. And I'll be sitting in with Betty Maurer, or Mower, M-O-W-E-R. And her show runs from 11:30 this morning to 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Sounds awful, doesn't it? I mean, that's not awful. That's a good time to be on. It just, I'm thinking that's not too many hours from now. But anyway, I'll be on some, I'll probably drop by around noontime or something. I don't know why I'm telling you all this. Maybe you don't really care. But if you do, you might tune us in at that time, and they play a lot of the good classic kind of stuff like who? Rosemary Clooney and big band music and all that kind of stuff. Okay, that's WUMB on the FM dial at 91.9. Thank you very, very much. Time for us to say goodbye. Boy, the end of this program comes very quickly. We'll be back tonight at 11, and we have an interesting guest tonight. Let me see who that is. Let's see, tonight we'll be talking with, hold on while I flap papers in you. Oh, T.G. Morgan, he was on with us once before. He's the author of VCR Repair Secrets, answering questions on how you can keep your VCRs in pristine condition without spending a small fortune. Okay, so that's tonight at 11, and a lot of other things will be happening too, and I hope you can join me on behalf of myself, Steve. Norm Nathan Person, and Jim Frawley, and Karen Messlener, and the lovely Marilyn Goralik. Hope it's a good day for you. Bye-bye, old sport.
Doctor or taking more than one medicine, OSCO's computer system automatically checks for possible harmful drug interactions and alerts you immediately. All that from OSCO.
You could find yourself sitting in the breakdown lane of life.
Bob? Where do you stand on the healthcare debate?
Bob, did you see what they said about that controversial new movie? Hey, Bob, how about those socks last night?
Clark, I sound. We'll get along just swell.
Oh, we'll be fine.
Two ugly people by dawn's early light and too much in love to say goodnight and too ugly to say goodnight.
And I'm glad you're here tonight, too.
Okay, thank you very much.
Hey, I'll be listening to you.
Oh, thank you, Arlene. Thanks for calling.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
I don't know whether you could detect by the quality of my voice or not, but I'm desperately in love with Arlene, and I don't care who knows it. Okay, pal, you know what I'm saying?
What kind of a party did you say you went to?
Oh, what kind of a party?
Oh, I mean, for who?
Oh, this was for Jack Crowley, who's a news photographer over at Channel 7.
I missed the name.
Yeah, Jack Crowley, yeah.
Okay, now listen, about Tony Bennett, that wasn't why I was calling, but thing is, that song you're talking about, I sang the whole song while you were talking to that lovely lady, and isn't the name of that beautiful girl, maybe?
No, not beautiful girl.
Because the last line is, I will be younger than spring. Da, 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 da.
I say beautiful girl, walk a little, beautiful girls, I guess, plural. Walk a little slower when you walk by me.
Yeah, and it's
the
title
as
you sing. But listen, as entertainment reporter and Norm Nathan. Now, he's going to be here a lot because he's getting a special award, and I can't remember because a little news bulletin came into the station the other day, and there were three people being honored someplace, somewhere, and he's one of them, but in Boston. Then he's going to be here at the Harbor, that new place, and I think he's going to be in the North Shore, and he's going to be around a lot. So
that's right. He's going to be, that's the fan pier.
Right.
Next to Anthony's Pier 4.
Right.
And then he'll be up at North Shore Music Theater the next day,
Right, so we have to sort of, get him. But, you know, I think the reason that he's doing a lot and forgetting his old friends like Norman Rose.
And he's gone with these rock jocks who haven't known him for 2 minutes.
His son is now his manager.
Well, his son can go shove it up his nose.
His young son. That's probably why. Anyway, I'm calling you. It was very funny that you mentioned Alan Dawson because I'm giving you this little story that... Wednesday, June 15th, there's going to be a tribute to Alan Dawson featuring Dave Brubeck, Alan Dawson, James Williams, Billy Pierce, Jack Six, John Lockwood, Herb Pomeroy, Andy McGee, and others at the Berkeley Performance Center.
Oh, isn't that nice?
Isn't that nice?
Excellent. He's such a nice guy and such a fine drummer.
I know it.
But I'll never forget that commercial we did together. You know, he's... And I was so proud of that. He laid down the soundtrack, boom, and I'm saying,
yes.
If Paul Revere were on his horse, he'd be staying over at the Charles River, whatever the thing was. And then the end was, if you lived here, you'd be home by now. City boom boom man, that was rap. And
right.
I was...
You were way before your time.
Well, that's what Alan Dawson, because I reminded of him that the other day.
He would never tell anyone he worked on community auditions. And speaking of that also, the lady that you were speaking to, whose father was the band leader for Hildegard.
Oh, yeah. Bobby Norris. Yeah, she was out with the WNAC Studio Orchestra.
Now, Bob Winter was the first, that was his very first job playing for Hildegard. So maybe he played with the band, or he was on the road with her and everything.
He might have played with Bobby Norris.
So she could call a Berkeley school and talk to Bob Winter if she'd like to, too, because he told me several times that was his very first job.
Well, then he would know him.
Yeah, last but not least, before the news comes out, now, being your entertainment report, I'm also allowed to give you some music reports on tapes and stuff. Now, I got the new Diane Shore and B.B. King tape, and I'm giving it a 9.5 out of 10. And the only reason I'm not giving it a 10 is because he sings great the whole time, but a couple of times, and she's my favorite, she screams like she's on Star Search, and we don't really need that. But
okay, this is S-H-U-R-E, Diane Shore.
S-H-U-U-R.
Oh, S-H-U-R.
S-C-H-U-U-R.
Oh, S-C-H-U-U-R.
I think she's added another U. It's on the tape in my hand.
It must be. Either they made a misprint, or what she's trying to do... She says, if I'm listed in the phone book, that way nobody, it's like an unlisted phone. Who's going to know how to spell that?
How about this for an old Norm Nathan song? I'm putting all my eggs in one basket.
Oh.
They do great.
You know, they were singing that at the shows when I was at the George G. Hamilton School in Everett and played the violin in the orchestra. I'm putting all my eggs in one basket.
That's right. It's really a great tape. They do duets, the whole thing. It Had to Be You, I Can't Stop Loving You, You Don't Know Me, Glory of Love, Try a Little Tenderness, and At Last,
Yeah, you know...
And all that stuff.
Okay, there were two songs we used to play, and I must say this, in the Georgie Hamilton School Orchestra, where I was a violinist in the group. We played the Isle of Capri. Do you recall
that? Oh, yes. Was that I found you.
It was on the Isle of Capri that I found you.
Right.
It was on the Isle of... And the other was, there's an old spinning wheel in the parlor.
Yes, I was too young, but I remember.
Oh, shut up. There were the two big hit tunes of that period.
All right, one last thing before we go.
Yes?
On the Boston, at the Hat Shell on Sunday, June 12th, free concert with Lou Rawls, Joe Henderson Trio, Herbie Mann Reunion Band, and Wayne Northcott and Fire.
Is that part of the Globe Jazz Festival?
Yes, it is. Beginning at 3, rain or shine.
Oh, they're going to get a mob down there.
Isn't that nice?
Excellent.
Lou Rawls. Lots of good stuff.
Lou Rawls is a... Oh, they're all good, but I've always been a big fan of Lou Rawls.
Very. All right, now listen, we're going to work on Tony Bennett. We'll get him on the air, and we'll get Stevie.
Well, I don't know. I may not want him on the air now.
You once said he was a terrible interview, but now he's grown up, and he's working.
Oh, the interview I had with him once, I kept looking at his blue eyes. His blue eyes, I mean, really jump out of his head and stare at you. And
I know.
And he answered in one word, and wasn't that he was being... nasty or anything.
That's his personality.
Yeah, he's not a gregarious kind of guy, and I don't think he's too terribly bright, to tell you the truth.
How would you like Don Cornell?
Don Cornell probably would make a great interview, but he's a lousy singer. Now we get a good singer, he's a lousy interviewer.
Well, we'll try. Let's see if we can get Steve Lawrence. We'll see if we can get
Steve Lawrence would be fun.
He's a great interviewer.
Yeah, he'd be fun.
Well, we'll see if we can do that. We'll get working on it right now.
Okay. Listen, I want to mention we've delayed the start of the 1:30 news in order that we may finish this conversation. Pardon me?
You and I are better, and I love you.
We could skip the whole newscast, and we'd be more entertaining.
That's right.
But anyway, hey, thank you very much, Entertainment Reporter.
I'll speak to you next week.
Excellent.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.
This is...
Big guy.
Oh, I'm doing quite well. Finished up on finals on Friday, so I've been just having a smile on my face since that time.
I'm glad to hear that. Now, what happens now? You're off for a few weeks or summer?
I'm off until 8 or 9 this morning.
Oh, but what happens at 8 or 9 this morning?
I start my summer job, so.
Oh, yeah, you have a summer job?
Yeah.
What a lovely son you've turned out to be.
I know, I mean, someone's got to pay for that tuition bill, you know. And
I know, and I keep hearing from MIT, and they say, I don't remember what they said. I don't even know why I brought that up. What kind of a summer job do you have?
I'm just going to work for a professor over the summer here.
Oh, that sounds like fun. There's a guy you like and stuff who's...
He's really interesting to work with, and so far he and I have gotten along, so...
He's a professor at MIT, will the subject be anything which I might vaguely understand?
Well, I'll tell you what it is, and then you can be the judge of that.
Okay.
Economics?
I think I know what that is. Yeah, I thought you were going to say... You know, something along the electrical kind of line that's kind of vague.
Yeah, you wouldn't understand. It involves physics and math and equations and things like that. So,
in economics?
Yeah, surprisingly, yes.
Oh, does it really?
Yeah.
Oh, so it isn't just straight economics.
Right.
Or it's a specific kind of economics.
Well, no, this is called the area called public finance. It has to do things with, like, healthcare reform and welfare and unemployment insurance and the government spending lots of money, essentially.
See, I understand that. And I would think that'd be fascinating.
Yeah, it's quite interesting. And I think the part I like about it is it does affect people's lives directly, you know.
That's great. Boy, and you'll be working from right throughout the entire summer.
Yes, I mean, spending my days sleeping away in front of a computer all summer. What a great summer, huh?
I know.
Just
that's
like those days of working on Revere Beach, right?
No, that's like, you know, that's like still being in school. But what a... You know, what a lot you can learn from this guy.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And it's fun to work with the professors directly, you know, instead of just sitting in a lecture hall, you know.
Oh, yeah, well, you know, it's like having a private tutor and getting paid for it. Well, sort of. Maybe it's not exactly like that.
Not paid very much anyway. But.
Okay. So, what about your folks? Now, are they unhappy that you won't be coming home for the summer?
Yeah, kind of, but I figure they'll deal with it, so...
You know, you're an adult person the way you said that. They'll deal with it. What the heck?
No, and I'll see them on the weekends and things.
Sounded like Patty Davis, the Reagan daughter, who's kind of on the outs with her family. She's going to pose in the nude for the... She's going to be in Playboy magazine, I think, the July issue.
Why?
Patty Davis. I don't know why. She just said it was kind of interesting. She's 41, so she's really something like that. So she's above the age of most of the models.
Well, they've really gone to hell. You know, a couple months ago it was Elle McPherson, and now it's
Patty Davis. Well, I think because of her name, and she says she's exercised a lot. She's trying to keep herself in great, in good shape.
I think I'll use that with next time. Playgirl asked me, you know, Raj. Well, yeah, I've been exercising a lot, so you know.
That's right. Yeah. Just the fact of her name and the fact that she's a Reagan daughter and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, the reason I mention it is, somebody said, "What do you think? Have you talked with your father about this? What does he think?" And she apparently hasn't talked with him much for many years about anything. But she said there's something like the answer you just gave, but he can deal with it, or something, he'll have to deal with it. Or it wasn't a particularly friendly kind of statement, but then again, she hasn't been friendly toward them, nor are they toward her for a very long time.
My statement, I mean, completely friendly. I'm sure that I'll be seeing plenty of them. So
no, because you are a friendly person. I wasn't questioning that at all.
It's really going to go downhill when Nancy Reagan poses for them.
Thank you very much. As long as Ronald Reagan doesn't post for Playgirl magazine, we're all set.
Yeah, I think no. Well, what were you talking about with this? Was it the woman before this entertainment reporter? Something about people who heard her last night or something.
People
had heard her last name. That was a very, very...
That was the woman before you. That was Arlene from Philadelphia. Yeah, she used to be on this... she worked for one of these 900 numbers.
Oh.
These sex lines. And she was, would talk with the guys on that line. A lot of which I think she had said originally was just conversation. Guys kind of lonesome and talk. But she was also mentioning the kind of phone bills they racked up, because it was she hasn't done that, I guess, for a couple of years or so. But it's $3.95 a minute. I love the way they do that on those television commercials. Talk with me, honey. It's only $3.95 a minute or something. Only $3.95 a minute? Holy God, if it were a nickel a minute, I would think nine times before I'd ever make that call. And so she says some guys rack up like $10,000 in phone bills. I think she mentioned one guy who was very wealthy and didn't really care, racked up a bill of $100,000. I don't know. I mean, it's beyond my ability to even fathom that. I can't even see that.
Norm was behind in getting to the mail? Big surprise. But, you know, that was always a welcome problem. The listeners were just so darn wonderful. We've reached 200 subscribers here on YouTube alone. There are others on Spotify and more. Thanks to all. Please remember to like, subscribe, and share. Always feel free to reach out in the comments, and please consider supporting the show by joining Patreon. Not including my time and effort, distribution alone is $500 a year. Once that is covered, a percentage of anything more than that will go to the Berklee College of Music in Norm's name. I held on to the little bit from last year to combine it with this year to make the amount more, shall we say, acceptable. So if you can help, click the link in the description box and join. I try my best to post exclusive content on there to make it worth your while. Closing the vault and leaving this world a little sillier than we found it. Buckle up, as the credit list is a long one, but it's worth it. 4. The Diaspora. My show notes that Norm reads. Documented certificates. Plastic thermal underwear. Wicker sportswear. Wellman Industries, Carol Mativier, Carl Tiedemann, Selectra Electric Cars in Wilmington, Mass. Typewriters, Reminisce Magazine, Peter Falk, Powerball, Massachusetts Megabucks, Golda, David Brudnoy, Norman Nathan, Dave Maynard, Norm Prescott, The Derry Go Round, The Swan Boat, Sal Vella, Filene's Basement, Norm's Mom. Starting the day with some laughter. Giving you a buzzle wuzzle. Generosa. Bill Lawrence. Bob McMahon. Lana Jones. Un-AccuWeather forecasts. Contrite apologies. La Pierre on the loose. And Dope Slap Wednesday. Nathan's Notebook. Dr. Lonnie Carton. the Learning Center, PhD hate, old bones, AMDXers and skip reception, toting your horn, Larry Glick, Kenny Meyer, Lisa Gibbons, Ken Newman's fiance, Kristen Koenig, which is what I believe he said, crayons and lined paper, Linda Chase, beautiful girls, the WNAC Studio Orchestra, Patty Davis, Playboy Magazine, Ruth Clement, Jim Frawley, Jack Hart, Ken Newman, and the president of Nauman University and the Unlearning Center, Dr. Norm Nathan. I'm AccuWeather meteorologist Tony Nesbitt, PhD.